Good morning. We're going to continue our series on Philippians today, and we're going to go to chapter 4. In chapter 4 of Philippians, here in verse 1, I'm reading the King James Version of the Bible. If you have another version you like, you're welcome to read along in that one. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Isn't that great? He considers the believers in Philippi to be his joy and crown. He considers them dearly beloved. It says it twice in that verse. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, he is wishing he could go see them. And they're also his joy and crown. And then at the end of the verse, it says, my dearly beloved. And then in the middle of that, it says, so stand fast in the Lord. And that's a great encouragement. Because there are so many things that affect our lives. You might stand fast in doing a good job at work. You might stand fast in deciding who you want to vote for. You might stand fast in, you know, cooking the best meal. You might stand fast in the way you treat the neighbors and help them out by getting their mail when they're gone. There's so many places you could stand fast, and many of them are just wonderful and a big part of life. But Paul's encouragement, and the thing that's at the basis of all, is to stand fast in the Lord. Because if we stand fast, trusting God, keeping our eyes on God, then our whole lives will work together and fit. Then it says, verse 2, I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. They must have been doing some arguing or fighting about what the scriptures mean or how to serve God or, you know, criticizing and gossiping, something like that. They were doing something that wasn't very helpful. So he says, I beseech them that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And we may not be in the same mind in a lot of things. We certainly, if you get any two people in the room, there are going to be some things they disagree about. But as long as we're of the same mind in the Lord, we know, like it said in the manifestation, God loves us, he's going to take care of us, we look to him at all times. As long as we're in agreement on that, we can go about our merry way and have different opinions on many things. Nothing wrong with that. But we want to be of the same mind in the Lord. Which is why, other than giving a few examples when I teach, and you know, maybe having a nice chit-chat after the teaching's over, we try to avoid areas where we disagree. There's just no value in it. You know, it just leads to fighting and all kinds of problems. So you've probably noticed that. I try to keep that out of the fellowship. Okay, verse 3, and I entreat thee. Entreat is sort of like beg or request. I'll see what some other translations have. Since my tablet with the blue letter Bible is in a good mood, I'll look at what we call translation comparison. Entreat's sort of an older word. The newer translations say, I urge you, I ask you, I beseech you, I beg you. Those are some of the things. So it's asking or urging. So I urge you also, true yoke fellow. And a yoke fellow is somebody you work closely with. Think of two oxen with a big wooden yoke on them. If one of them lies down, the other one sort of has to lie down. Other translations are companion, partner, but yoke fellow is the most common one. We're in this together. We're yoked together. If you fall down, I don't have to fall down. but there's a tendency to be tugged down with you. So I pray for you and try to help you so you don't fall down spiritually. And I don't get dragged into it. In the same way, if I make a whole lot mess out of my life, it could drag you down a little bit. So better we pray for each other and help each other and don't get dragged down. So I urge you also, here we go, verse 3, I urge you also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. This means they have eternal life. They're not going in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. So he says, help out those people that have been helping me in the gospel. Specifically, a group of women, a fellow named Clement, and other fellow laborers who worked together with him. Now look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again I say, rejoice. Think he's trying to get a point across? Rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you forgot already, again I say, rejoice. Now, if you look at Philippians 3, we'll see similar things that we read last time. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous. It doesn't bother me, but for you, it's safe. It helps you. Helps keep you safe. And then look at verse 3. For we are the circumcision, not physically, but spiritually, which do three things. Worship God in the Spirit, that's speaking in tongues, another prayer, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So a lot of rejoicing around, isn't there? So going back to chapter 4, where we were, and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, which can also be translated as gentleness or patience, be known unto all man. The Lord is at hand. God's here. God's here. So we don't have to get all angry and worried about everything. We should be moderate. I mean, who do you like being around? Somebody that's always yelling at you and berating you and telling you how messed up you are? Or people that are very patient and kind and want to help you? Well, that's what we should be, gentle and patient. Obviously, there are times you have to get angry. What's it say in Ephesians? Be angry and sin not. I would say if you're angry all the time and being really mean to God's people, I'd say that becomes sin. But if you only get angry when you absolutely have to, it also says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, don't stay angry for a week or a month or a year. If you got to get mad because something's going wrong, it needs to be fixed, go ahead, get mad. But then drop it and go back to being gentle and patient. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your gentleness and patience be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, here's a very favorite verse. It's so favorite. When I was in high school, I used to say, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. And careful here means anxious or worried. Today, careful just means, you know, you try not to trip when you're walking down the stairs or something. You pay attention to what you're doing. But this is a totally different word. It means anxious or worry. Be anxious for nothing, but instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication, which is more specific prayers, with what? Thanksgiving. Some people get so worried about their situation. I've even heard talk of people being mad at God. I know people do that, but I can't conceive of that personally. God is so kind, loving, powerful, watching over us and helping us. I cannot conceive of being mad at God, but there are people who apparently do that. We shouldn't. We should pray and make specific prayers with great thanksgiving. Because if I stop and think about, gee, the last time I was in a similar situation, I prayed and God took care of me. And then 3 years ago, something like this happened. I prayed and God took care of me. And somebody called me on the phone all worried. And I spoke the word and prayed for them. And God took care of them. So we're thankful. It reminds us of God's ability to take care of us. Think of a coach. I'm the coach of a sports team, and it's halftime, and we're in the locker room, and I'm talking to the team. Now, if I say you're a lousy bunch of so-and-sos that can't do anything, you think they're going to go out and play pretty well? No. I say something like, I know it was a tough first half. We had a few mistakes. But, you know, we've done this before. We've been down this many points before, and you're really good. And you can do it again. And that's the kind of thing that would probably encourage the team to do better. Maybe give them a few more things. You know, you stand over there, you throw the ball to him, whatever. But the point is, being negative and complaining and telling people they're no good probably doesn't help any. Same thing with God. Complaining to God about, oh, you're late, you screw everything up. That's not going to help. First of all, it's not true. Second of all, it's not going to help you believe for deliverance. Instead, you remember everything God did for you. Maybe not everything. What did it say in one of the Psalms? Forget not all his benefits. It's hard to remember them all, but just don't forget God's great benefits. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The J.B. Phillips translation, which is a very positive, encouraging translation of the New Testament, reads as follows. Don't worry over anything whatever. Oh, we better read the next verse first, then I'll go back. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God, if you do this, if you decide you're not going to worry about stuff, instead you're going to pray and be thankful to God, what's going to happen is the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So don't ask me to explain it, but I know it works. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that's the result of turning your concerns over to God. It's like it says in Isaiah, I think it's 26:3 of Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or focused on thee, on God. So you keep your mind focused on God, you'll have perfect peace. Very similar to what it says here. Instead of worrying about every little thing in life, pray about it. Ask specifically and do it with thanksgiving. You let your request be made known unto God. And then two things are going to happen. One, God's going to help you. It may not be exactly what you asked for, but it'll get you something you need. You know, you may pray you really need and want this new job. Well, he might not get you that job, but he might get you another job. Or he might somehow do a turnaround at the job you're at. But the point is, you'll come out fine. So you let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now these two verses in the J.B. Phillips translation. Don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. And in the New Living Translation, another one that I think explains a lot of things very clearly, They occasionally run off on their own theology and get a little nuts, but most of the time, New Living's a very good translation. So here we go. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Ha! Wow, great stuff. Okay, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, a lot of people think that's a real cop-out, or, you're just really not dealing with real life if you do that. I used to say words like, you're real Pollyanna, which refers to a young lady named Pollyanna in a Disney movie, who had a very positive outlook on life. Well, we're supposed to think about things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, where there's virtue and where there's praise. So if one of us wants to sit and just worry about all the things in the world, I heard this on the news, this is so terrible, you can do that, but you'll have a pretty miserable life. When I hear bad news, I pray, and then I think, is there anything I can do about it to help? And almost anything you hear on the news, with rare exceptions, you can't do anything about. So why worry about it? Pray for the people and let it go. But some people just can't wait to go tell everybody, oh, look at that terrible thing I heard. And of course, whatever they heard is probably biased and one-sided. Probably not the whole story. But still, they just want to get all upset about it because they think, I don't know why they do it. It's what they do. Reminds me of that verse somewhere that says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, there's no reason to sit around and complain about everything. It doesn't do much good. So let's read verse 8 and 9 again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul's just saying, follow my example. I've been at this a while. If you do things the way I do them, you'll come out pretty darn well. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again. They finally sent him some money, which they should have done all along. But finally, they got their act together and sent him some support. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. I wonder what that word for careful is. Hang on there. This fancy Bible software will tell me. Interesting. Just a word. Yeah, means care. Good. We'll just stay with that. So they did take care of him. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatso state ever state I am, therewith to be content. Yeah. He was fine with whatever. We've all gone through this. I've had times where the church or the fellowship supplied full-time living. I've had times where it supplied a big part-time living. I've had times where it supplied a small part-time living, and times where it provided nothing. But, God always took care of me. And God will continue to take care of all of us. But Paul said, And for a day job, he didn't always do this, but he made saddles. He could sew and make saddles. And there's another thing, too. I looked it up, because some people said he made something other than saddles. Can't remember what. But the Greek word basically means both. Somebody that sews heavy cloth. Could have been saddles or some other thing. But anyway, so that's what he did when he needed to get a day job and work. And some places, you know, he'd travel around to the churches. Some churches took very good care of him financially. Others didn't. So he would go off and work and earn his own money. And so he's glad that the Philippians now are suddenly helping him. So he says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content or self-sufficient. In other words, I get along fine. Look at this in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know, in today's culture, I know how to ride the bus. And I also know how to drive a fancy sports car. I can do either one. So I'm not going to sit there and complain about it. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I'm fine when people are serving me big, lavish meals. And I'm okay when all I have is a bowl of Cheerios. I'm fine either way. So I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I'm fine. It reminds me of that time I probably told you when I was in college in Connecticut. I was teaching a fellowship and I was talking about financial abundance and how as we give, God blesses us back. And I said truthfully, I said, I don't have any money right now. As a matter of fact, I'm 25 cents in debt. And it's true. I was 25 cents in debt. But I'm not worried. Because if I need money later in the week, God's going to give it to me. And sure enough, a couple days later, I don't know the details, but I needed a fair amount of cash. But you know what showed up? I don't know if I got a paycheck or somebody gave it to me or what it was, but I got some money and I was fine. So it's good to be able to abound and suffer need. Then look at this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the older manuscripts don't have Christ. I was added in the later manuscripts. So it would just be him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I actually saw somebody recently that had Philippians 4:13 on a tattoo. I thought, that's great. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's where we can do all things. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Awesome. Wait a second, my tablet went to sleep. I'm waking it up again. That doesn't work. It's working. I was going to say, I could look up a Bible app on my phone, or heaven forbid, I could look at an actual paper Bible, which would work fine. All right, still waking up here. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, we can do a lot just with our own skills as people. God's given us tremendous minds, very resilient bodies, wonderful resources, absolutely awesome. Okay, I'm going to get out a paper Bible because my phone is busy for, actually, I bet I can talk into the phone and still look at an app. Why not? Yeah, my tablet's acting up a bit. Okay, here we are in just as I do that, now my tablet's coming back. Okay. Our technology is wonderful. Not perfect, though. Okay, Philippians 4. And again, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or through him who strengthens me. And of course, that's God by way of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not really wrong what it says here in the King James. It's just not exactly what the text says. Okay. So, verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have done, well done, that you did communicate or share with my affliction. And this word affliction can be translated troubles, difficulty, distress, or perhaps the best translation is simply mental pressure. He had a lot of mental pressure because he had to take care of the church, and he also had to either live on very little or he had to do a lot of physical work to earn it. But now that they have given him money, now they shared with his affliction and or his mental pressure, so it wouldn't be bothering him at all. Verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, you know, when he started his ministry and the word was just becoming known to him and to everybody else, because realize this is, I don't know exactly, but this is probably 50 AD or something, maybe 20, 30 years after Jesus Christ completed his ministry. So everything's new. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I started this, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So the Philippians were very good at providing financial support, but then they went through a period where they weren't able to, but then now they're able to help again. And Paul's very thankful for that. So look at that verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when he's starting his ministry, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, there are a lot of believers in Thessalonica. Wonderful believers. It talks a lot about that, about what a great church they had there and how it grew and people were faithful. Yet, for some reason, they didn't give much in the way of financial assistance. You know, and I know we all have friends in all kinds of Christian ministries, and some of them are very prosperous because the people give a lot. Others, they're just sort of squeaking by, barely able to pay the light bill. So it depends. Well, the Thessalonians apparently at times didn't help him very much, or not as much as he needed. And so the Philippians came through a few times. Amazing. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift. I'm not trying to get rich off of this. I'm not trying to get rich out of all of this. So the Thessalonians communicated, shared with him. Not verse 17, because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Because he knew that if they gave, God would bless him. Yes, he did need cash to eat and function. But that's not the main reason he was glad, because he knew if they gave, God would bless them and fruit from God, because as they gave, God would give back. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And God is like that. If people give financially, if they give of their time and effort, if they use their resources to help God's people, God will bless them back for that. That's why you never lose with God. You're never going to fall short. It's a lot of things you invest in, you know, like I have some investment properties. I've had them for like 8 or 9 years. Haven't brought in much profit, but theoretically they'll be sold and I'll get a good return in the next year. Theoretically. So my point is, you put money into business ventures, you give money to other people, sometimes it'll bring forth some kind of return. And if you're doing any of that to help God's people, God will bless you back for it. That's the main thing. That's an investment you can't lose in. My point is, a lot of investments, a lot of things you do with your money may pay off, they may not. Sometimes you want to be kind to people, so you give them money or other resources, and they just, turn around and stab you in the back. But not with God. Anything you give to God, He will take care of you. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Apparently Epaphroditus delivered. It was hard to use like Venmo or PayPal or Zelle back then. Or even mail a check. Like we have done and still do now and then. Very hard to do that. But Epaphroditus apparently must have been visiting them in Philippi. And they gave the offerings to him. And he brought them to Paul. But I have all in abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Oh, and I forgot. I forgot. He, all of that making saddles and tents. Yeah, that was it. Tents and saddles. He did one or the other or both, because like I said, the Greek word is somebody that sews heavy cloth. He did that many places he was, but when he wrote Philippians, he was under house arrest in Rome. So whether he was able to do anything to earn money, I don't know. But I know that they sent an offering to him and it helped. So verse 18, I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now look at this verse 19, very favorite verse. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, what's the context? The context is financial giving. God always wants to take care of his people, but the way he's set up financial abundance, starting back when Abraham gave a tenth of all the spoil in his battle to Melchizedek, I think it was Melchizedek, yes. Yes. A prophet who came to bless him and see how he was. Even back then. Even back in the Garden of Eden, or outside the Garden of Eden, Cain and Abel. They gave sacrifices. Abel did it right, Cain didn't. So the idea of giving to God has been around since the very beginning. So in the context that the Philippian believers were giving to support Paul's ministry, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to the state of the economy, not according to what the Federal Reserve is doing, not according to which companies are making more money. Not according to, is the American dollar the best currency in the world? These are all things people haggle about in financial markets. But when it comes to God, he doesn't have to add. He doesn't have to deal with that. He has riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So everything is through what Christ has done for us and what he still does by being at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. So verse 19, in the context of financial giving, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father, or can be translated even our Father, God who is our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So he's in Rome, and he has many of the people that work right for Caesar, the empire. He's been speaking the word to them, and they are sending their greetings to the church in Philippi. Remember, Philippi is way up in what today might be called northern Greece, up by Thessalonica. Way up in northern Greece, also sometimes considered Macedonia. But that's where it is. And Rome, of course, is a ways away in Italy. So all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. The grace, not the wrath, not the condemnation. Nope. That may be from other people. There's plenty of people who want to condemn you and get down on you, but not our Lord Jesus Christ. Great grace, great divine favor comes from him and his Father. Also our Father. Well, Father, thank you for the great truths you've put in your word. Thank you that we can continue to look at you, continue to know you supply our needs, continue that know that we have the joy of giving to help your people. Continue to know that we can do all things through you because you strengthen us. And we will just focus on not worrying, not being anxious, but instead praying, being thankful, and rejoicing in all you do for us. And we thank you for that and a great time ahead until we meet again. Thank you for your great love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.